If you have your Bible, we invite you to turn with us to the book of Jeremiah chapter 33. We want to preach this morning on this thought, God's answer. God's answer. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. What a verse, what a promise for you and I to claim. Now, when I look at that verse real quickly, in our minds, when we pray, we know God will hear and God will answer, and we believe God will show us great and mighty things. Many times in our mind, we think of mighty things as being mountaintop experiences. But I have found out also through claiming this verse that we went through the lowest valleys that I've ever went through in my life claiming this verse. And in that valley, I found out about His greatness. He showed me great and mighty things from the valley. He is the shepherd of our valley. Amen. According to this verse, our responsibility is to pray. God's responsibility is to answer. Our responsibility is to ask, and God's responsibility is to act. There are at least four different types of answers that we can see in the Word of God. The first one is when God gives us a definite yes. The second one is when God gives us a denial or a no. The third one is when God gives us a different answer. When God does something different than what we've asked Him to do. We prayed for this. The Holy Ghost said you don't know what to pray for as you ought. He translates that into that. And I'm glad, amen, there is a difference between this and that. You'll see that in the Word of God in the book of 1 Samuel. I want to say fourthly this morning, God will give you an answer of delay. And that is when God says wait. There are definite times when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says wait. A lot of times when we get the answer no, or when we get the answer wait, we think something's wrong with God's hearing. We think He didn't answer us, or that He didn't hear us. But the real problem is we didn't hear or didn't like to hear what God said. There were three retirees. And the first one said, it's windy, ain't it? The other one said, no, it's Thursday. The other one said, so am I, let's get a Coke. We think God has the hearing problem, but it is you and I that has a hearing problem. And there are times when He says no, and there are times when He says wait. This morning, I want us to look at when God says wait, living in God's wait. Now, when I think about the word wait, I think about the waiting room. There was three fathers that were in the waiting room waiting for the birth of their children. And the doctor came, sent the nurse, and said to the first one, said, you've had twins. He said, that's amazing because I work for Double Mint Gum. The nurse come running in again, said to the other man, said, you've had triplets. He said, that's amazing because I work for the 3M Corporation. The other man got up and started running out the door, and they said, where are you going? He said, I work for 7-Up. When it comes to waiting on God, that's not what we want to do. And there is no easy formula. We heard our superintendent this morning read verses of Scripture to us and even spoke to us about we love microwave ovens and drive-through windows. We love all this fast-paced life. Amen? But there are times that God says, wait. Number one this morning, there is a divine aim to waiting. And I want to pull just a couple of ideas into this that God has given me. When God allows us to wait, it develops our faith and it demonstrates our trust. And I want to try to share both of these ideas in a couple of biblical examples. It develops our faith and it demonstrates our trust in God when you and I learn to wait on Him. I thought about waiting faith.
There was one man who was waiting for a sign to leave. His name was Noah. He got on board the ark and trusted God. And God rained 40 days and 40 nights and flooded the entire world. And we know that Noah was on that ark for more than 370 days. He was waiting for a sign to leave. He had to wait on God. But there came a dove with an olive leaf in his mouth. And that represented the peace of God. And it was time to get off of that old boat. I'm glad that we can wait on a sign to leave. And guess what? I'm waiting on a sign to leave too. The Holy Ghost is living inside me. And he tells me, just wait on Jesus. He's going to come and take us home one day. Amen. Waiting on a sign to leave. And then there's one that was waiting on a spouse to love. I thought about Abraham's servant. He said, you go out and you find a bride for my son. And when the servant got there and he seen all these people, he said, how am I supposed to know which girl to pick? How am I supposed to understand? So he began to pray. And as he waited during his prayer, about that same time before he ever said amen, out she walked. And God said, that's her. I want to say to somebody this morning, you may be waiting on a spouse to love. Hey, don't just go get anybody. Wait on God to send her. Wait on God to send him. It'll be all right. And when you get the one God wants you to have, you'll be blessed in doing so. Amen. Thirdly, there is waiting on seed from the Lord. Rachel's womb was barren, and she waited and prayed and waited and prayed. And finally, God touched her womb and gave her a little boy named Joseph. I thought about Hannah. A boy, the Lord had to touch her womb. She was barren, and God gave her a son named Samuel. Hey, I want to say this morning, these people here, you're waiting on your loved one to get saved, and you're waiting on seed from the Lord, amen, that your family might be born again. Hey, pray that your church is not a barren church. Pray that your church becomes a delivery station, amen, where souls are born again. Thankful this week to hear about 8 souls saved from the ministry of this church as it reaches out. Glory to God. Bless his holy name. He didn't have to use us or allow us, but he did. And we thank him for the seed from the Lord. Fourthly, there are those that are waiting for satisfaction from the Lord. Joshua and Caleb said, let's take the land. The other 10 spies says, we can't do it. Man, there's giants over there. And we all know that 10 outnumbers 2. What did Joshua and Caleb do? Did they get mad and quit? Did they say, we ain't hanging around with you backslid bunch. We're out of here. Joshua and Caleb was the only two that was older than 20 years old that made it 40 years through the wilderness. Amen. God blessed them. And guess what God gave Caleb? He gave him a city called Hebron, which represents victory, which represents triumph, which represents fellowship with God. While he was waiting, amen, 40 years, he waited and he got God's blessing. Hey, God's got a city for you and me too. It may not be Hebron, but it's called heaven. And I'm going there one day and I bless his holy name. And while I'm here, I'm waiting on him. Now for some people, waiting means reading a magazine or twiddling your thumbs. But God wants us to be constantly involved in serving him while we wait on the Lord to come and take us home. One day we're going to be rewarded. What about Simeon? You remember that great man of God who was waiting in the house of the Lord for the Lord's Christ to be born? God showed Simeon and said, you will not die until you see the Lord's Christ, when you see the Messiah. And Simeon, every day, he was there in the temple, in the house of God. And you know what he was doing? He was serving. He was worshiping. He was looking for the Lord's Son, the Messiah, to come. And one day, bless his holy name, in walked Mary and Joseph with a bouncing baby boy to come in and to give him to the Lord and to make proper sacrifice. And Simeon said, mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. He waited on God, and God sent him the blessing. What about Mary and Martha? They sent to Jesus and said in John 11, verse 2 and 3, they said that Lazarus is sick, and they sent for Jesus to come. But later on in the chapter, we realize that Jesus had waited 4 days before he come. They had to wait 4 days, and they waited through the death of their loved one before Jesus came. When he got there, they said, Lord, we believe that you're the resurrection and the life. We believe out there somewhere you're going to raise Lazarus again. But Jesus had in mind, I'm going to do it today. You see, our God is not constrained by time. I'm going to preach this over and over. He's not constrained by time. You and I are worried about time, time. We need it now. We need it yesterday. We're constrained by time. Our God is concerned about timing. Amen. Hey, when he's 4 days late, he's still on time. And he called Lazarus from the grave. Amen. There is waiting faith. I thought about fifthly, waiting for the Spirit of the Lord. He said in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 4, he said that they were to go into the upper room after Jesus had died, was buried, rose again, spent 40 days upon this earth, and as he's getting ready to go home to glory, he told them, he said, I want you to wait for the promise of the Father. They were waiting on the Spirit of God to come. And guess what? On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost moved in a mighty way. And Peter stood up and preached, and thousands of souls were saved. Hey, friend, there's a time we got to wait on the Spirit of God. We get in such a hurry in our churches nowadays, it's unbelievable. Nobody wants to sit and wait on God anymore. We think, let's get so-and-so up, and maybe they'll sing and it'll stir there. Or maybe the preacher will get up and he'll get us stirred. Listen, there's something about just hanging around the things of God and centered around Him, and in His time, He'll do His work. I can't manufacture it, but I know He can do it, amen? I know the source. I can't manufacture it. You can't manufacture it. But I know who the source is. You see, waiting on God means this. That when we don't know what to do, that we trust God with it. And we look to Him with it. Without manipulating, without scheming, without calculating, we just trust Him. There's been times in our lives that God has told us, I just want you to wait. I heard you, but I want you to wait. But Lord, that's not really what I wanted to hear, but it's His answer, and it's what's best for your life. God has a divine aim to develop faith and demonstrate trust in your life. Amen? That's His divine aim. Number two, there are divine admonitions about waiting. Preacher, what is an admonition? It is a warning. I want to hear from some individuals that God said wait, but they were not willing to wait on God's answer. I would recall to your mind a man by the name of Abraham. In the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse number 2, listen to what God told Abraham. He said, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And Abraham didn't even have a child of his own. How's he going to be the father of nations without any children of his own? So he waited, and he waited, and he waited, and he waited. And finally, his wife said to him, she said, I'm barren. She said, I want you to take my handmaid. Her name is Hagar. I want you to go in unto her, and you and Hagar have a child. Abraham could have said, absolutely not. I'll trust God. But that great man of faith, Abraham, went into that little slave girl, and they conceived a child, and they named him Ishmael. You see, Abraham was not willing to wait on God. And the Bible would tell us about the seed of Ishmael. I wrote this down. The Bible says that Ishmael, Genesis 16:12, he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. The results of Abraham's rebellion and his discord in waiting on God, the entire world to this day where we live right now, we have been affected by Ishmael and his descendants because Abraham would not wait on God. Preacher, what will happen to me if I don't wait on God? Friend, it will not only affect you, but it will affect everything in your entire world and maybe generations to come. Well, preacher, okay, I see Abraham. What about King Saul? God told King Saul, through Samuel, he said, I want you to go and wait 7 days. And Samuel said, I'll come. And with instructions on what to do. God's going to show us what to do. Well, the Philistine army's outside, and they're gathering, and they're growing in number. And old Saul's trying to wait. He waits a day or so, and second day, and a third day. And I mean, the pressure's mounting, and the enemy's getting bigger, and the threats are progressing. And finally, Saul says, "Am I the king or not? I'm tired of waiting on the man of God. I'm tired of waiting on instructions from God. So I'm going to take matters into my own hands." And the Bible says when he did this, he took upon himself the office of a priest, which was forbidden to him to do. And about that time, God sent Samuel down there, and this is what he said. Samuel said to Saul, 1 Samuel 13, 13. 13 is the number of rebellion. "Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded me. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." Because of Saul's impatience and inability to wait on God, the kingdom was taken from him. Wait on the Lord. Do not act prematurely. Don't give every knee-jerk reaction to every situation. When you're most eager to act, when God says wait, but you get eager to act, you're getting ready to make a mistake. And you've been warned by God to wait. Somebody here today, I don't know what it is, but God's already told you to wait. And you keep praying about it, hoping he's going to change his mind. But God's waits. What's perfect for you right now? It's what's best for you. Hear the divine admonition of God. Don't go ahead and do this. Wait on God. Number three, there is divine assurance. When David was pursued by King Saul, when David was betrayed by Ahithophel and his own son Absalom had turned away and Doeg had told where his hiding place was, David wrote this in Psalm 27:13. "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You may say, "Preacher, I can't bear this one more moment." David said, "I had fainted. I couldn't hardly wait anymore unless I had believed to see." Preacher, what does that mean? He said, "I see by faith that waiting is the best thing I can do." He says, "Wait on the Lord." And again I say, wait on the Lord. You can wait on the Lord for salvation. David wrote, "Truly my salvation, my soul waiteth upon the Lord. From him cometh my salvation." You can wait on him for strength. He says in Isaiah 40, verse 29. You love this verse, don't you? "He giveth power to the faint, and them that have no might, to them he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with eagle's wings. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." God, if we'll wait on him, will give salvation. God, if we'll wait on him, will give us strength. What about serenity? He gives us peace. I think about Psalm 37:7. "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." I'm telling you, somebody today, you're troubled. You're ready to rise up and tell somebody off. God said, "Just wait. Just let me have it. I know what to do with it," amen? We're assured God will allow us in times of waiting, when we're troubled and impatient, God, if we'll wait on him, say, "God, help me to wait on you." God will give you serenity. God will give you strength. He will give you salvation and deliverance. I want to remind you of one more fact. Turn with me over to the book of Daniel. I would remind you of the trouble that Daniel faced. The life and times in which he lived were marked by great troubles. He's a great man of God, but he's been rejected by the nation in which he lives. Babylon, all of Babylon in this world was against him, but somehow God raised him up in power right in the middle of it. Remember, the king had a dream, and the king woke up, and he forgot his dream, but it troubled him, and he called all his wise men and said, "Tell me what my dream was and what it means." And they said, "If you'll tell us your dream, we'll tell you what it means." He said, "I can't remember my dream." You ever done that? "I can't remember what I dreamed last night, but it bothered me." And they said, "Well, how are we supposed to tell you your dream and the interpretation thereof if we don't know your dream?" He said, "I thought you were the wise men of Babylon. Then I'm going to kill every one of you." Well, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and many others were there. And the orders comes that Daniel's going to be killed too. Daniel's going to die. He's got a death sentence on him. And he says, "Why are we dying?" Said, "The king's had a dream. He's troubled and don't know what it is. So he's going to kill all the wise men." Daniel says, "Let us seek the face of God and we'll give the king his answer." Now Daniel's facing some trouble. He goes in and he begins to pray. He said, "Oh God, they're going to cut our head off in the morning if you don't show us a dream and the interpretation thereof. And we believe that you are able to reveal secrets and dreams and interpretations." And God gave an immediate yes to Daniel. And Daniel went the next morning and told the king his dream and the interpretation thereof. And Daniel was elevated into the kingdom. Say amen right there. He faced trouble, and when he prayed, God gave him the answer. It was a determined prayer. When the Medes and the Persians took over, they said, "You can't pray anymore. If you pray to any god or any man for 30 days, you'll be thrown in the lion's den." Now, old Daniel's a determined prayer warrior. He opens the window up just like he always did. The Bible said he prayed 3 times a day. Just be reminded, he didn't get arrested the first time he prayed. Say amen. He didn't get arrested the second time he prayed. Say amen again. But he did get arrested after he prayed 3 times that day. They were sure they heard him praying when he threw up in the window. And they came and arrested him. And they took him and throwed him in the lion's den. You want to talk about facing trouble? He faced trouble. And when he got down there, God sent an angel. Shut the mouth of those lions right up. And the king was up all night long. He came the next morning to check on Daniel. He said, "Oh, Daniel, is the God you serve able to spare your life? Did he keep you alive during the night?" About that time, Daniel said, "Oh, king, live forever. God has sent his angel and shut the mouth of these lions." He didn't say this, but I won't insert it. He said, "I slept between 2 lions and stayed warm, put me a lion blanket on, and I fluffed one of their manes up to be like a big lion pillow, amen, and I slept perfectly last night." You see why God did that for Daniel? Because innocency was found in Daniel. Daniel was a man that was found faithful and devoted to God. He didn't just have determined prayer, he had devoted prayer. Some of you are determined to pray when trouble comes. But I'll tell you what, Daniel prayed morning and noon and night, whether it was trouble or not, he was praying. And we see the trouble that Daniel faced. Well, when I begin to think about that, I want to turn over here to Daniel chapter number 9. In Daniel chapter number 9, verse number 20, Daniel began to pray. God's beginning to show him some things, and that things aren't real good in the nation. The Bible says in verse 20, "While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding." Devoted prayer. Praying, oh God. And God sent an angel, Gabriel, to talk to Daniel. Another yes. Daniel with determined prayer. Daniel with devoted prayer has gotten yeses from God. And Daniel began to be shown in a vision things that are going to take place in the future, things that troubled Daniel greatly to know what terrible events would happen as Israel would reject the Messiah. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. We're going to get deep right here. Chapter 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Determined prayer, devoted prayer, but this time delayed prayer. God had said yes to him and delivered him from the lions. God had said yes to him and given him the answer for the dream and its interpretation thereof. But now he's troubled. He says, God, I don't understand. I can't believe we would do this. Help me, Lord. And for 3 days, or 3 full weeks, I should say, for 3 full weeks, he prayed and he fasted and he mourned before God. No answer. He's in a time of delay. After 3 full weeks, I want you to not only see the trouble that Daniel faced, but I want you to understand the touch that Daniel felt. The Bible says in verse number five, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color of polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Mark this down. This is not Gabriel. He's met Gabriel before. He mentioned him by name the last time. Who do you believe this is? Read the book of Revelation. Same description of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, a theophany, a Christophany, a pre-incarnate Christ who appeared to Daniel. Daniel saw him. The Bible said, now Daniel alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. He said, when he spoke to me, I basically have gone unconscious. Deep sleep's come to me. Verse 10, and behold, an hand touched me. Whew. The trouble that he faced, but the touch that he felt, the hand of the Lord Jesus was upon him, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. Are you looking at me? Can you see as he got listen, he picked Daniel up, touched him, and Daniel got up to this position. He still bowed down. He's on the palms of his hands and on his knees. He said to me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright. He said, get up, Daniel. If I've touched you, you can get up. Get up, Daniel. I like that, don't you? For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this thing unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. Now, listen, we've seen the trouble that he faced, and we've also have got the touch that he felt. But I thirdly want you to see the truth that he found. Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. He said, Daniel, hear me. I know you've waited 3 full weeks and you're in a delayed period, you feel like, but I heard you the first day. God's delays are not God's denials. He said, I heard you the first day. Oh, preacher, what on earth? I mean, he heard him to start with, what? But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now am I come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. I could go on and on, but again, I want you to understand, the truth is this. Sometimes God delays in our life is because of some spiritual warfare that's taking place around us. You notice what Daniel did while he was waiting. God said he chastened himself. He got rid of the sin in his own life. and begin to weep and mourn before God. You'll get in here and say, boy, I want, I want, I need, I desire, I pray. But you won't chasten yourself. You won't. You just won't, but you don't want to do anything about it. Daniel was willing to strip himself completely of all that he was so that he could get empty so that the Lord could fill him. Again, you and I are concerned with timing, or concerned with time, but God is concerned with timing. Now, I want to conclude by saying this. God takes Daniel, who is basically unconscious, and he renewed his strength. And Daniel was able to go, and God interpreted and gave him the vision. How many here wants God, Lord, I'd like to be spoke to? I've talked to some of you, and you said, boy, I've not heard from God in so long. Well, you've got his word in your hand. You can hear from him in his word. And if you'll attend the house of God where old-fashioned preacher will preach, you'll hear his word from the pulpit, Lord willing. Amen. But I mean, I want to get alone with him. Well, get alone with him then. But I want him to speak to me. Chasten yourself. Get down and empty yourself and say, I'm not going to give up, Lord, till you speak to me. I'm not going to give up till you give me an answer. And if it's wait, I'll accept it. It'll be just fine. I think about George Mueller. He was a 19th century man of God who operated a great orphanage, and he prayed over those orphans, and God did great things. I don't have time to tell you all those stories about what God did in his life. But he had two friends that were lost, and he desired for them to be saved. And one of them was saved. I think he prayed like 40 years, and one of them got saved after 40 years. Then George Mueller died. And so as he died, he thought, I don't understand, my prayer request was never answered, and I know it's the will of God that God would save my friends. But God saved his friend at his funeral. You see, we may have to wait. But if it's wait, God will comfort us in it. And I don't know all his reasons for doing it, but what he wants you to understand is this time of waiting is for you to develop faith in him and demonstrate your trust in him. Quit your scheming and your calculating and you're trying to adjust your situation and just say, Lord, you've said wait, so I'm going to wait. That doesn't mean quit. That means I'm just going to remain serving you right where I am. And sir, when you get ready, Lord, to use my life in your yes, I'll be waiting on you. I'll be waiting on you.